is May 15th, 2019, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hundred and Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Before we rise, I would just note that this is National Police Week. This afternoon, there was a ceremony honoring fallen federal, state, and local officers and their families, noting that last year there were 144 fallen police officers, and there are 40 this year to date. So following the flag salute, would you please join us in a moment of silence? I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is the presentation of minutes for the regular and executive session meetings of May 1st, 2019. Does anyone have any comments, corrections?
I have one correction. On the executive minutes in, under Little Brook Lane, employee in the second line should be plural. To accept the minutes of the regular meeting and the executive meeting of May 1st, 2019.
As corrected.
As corrected.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Now we would open the meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only. I would note that the meeting is recorded and published on the website promptly. I would also note that we have three public hearings tonight for ordinances, so if anyone has comments on the ordinances, you could hold those to the individual public hearings. I have a motion to open to public comment.
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Anyone like to make any comment? It wouldn't have to, but it would be easier if you had it. If it's related to that ordinance, we could do it. If it's related to the ordinance, if it's... Well, we'll do it. We'll take it at the ordinance. If it's related at all to soliciting, we'll do it there. Okay. Seeing no comments, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now we have a public hearing on ordinance number 2019-02. This is an ordinance appropriating the sum of $490,000 from the township's capital improvement fund for the purposes of various improvements and capital purchases. The breakdown is roughly $200,000 toward road resurfacing program, $80,000 toward chip and seal program, $100,000 to purchase a new Mason dump for the Department of Public Works, the acquisition of two SUVs for the police department in the amount of $80,000 combined, and the acquisition of self-contained breathing apparatus for $30,000 for the fire department. Any discussion from the committee before we open the public comment? If not, is there a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment on the ordinance 2019-02.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Anyone would like to make a comment on ordinance 2019-02? Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, would the committee like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2019?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2019-02.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, we have a public hearing for ordinance number 2019-03. This is an ordinance authorizing the salary of and compensatory overtime for the chief of police. It would provide that the chief of police is eligible for compensatory time for hours over 40 hours a week, and establish his salary at $128,825.77, effective January 1st, 2019, and that would also be increased by the amount, percentage increase set in the PBA contract that is under negotiation. At this time, unless the committee has any comments.
The only comment I had is, are there timesheets kept? Is that because he's kind of self-reporting. I'm just wondering how the records are kept.
He is self-reporting, but yes. As you see in here, the ordinance does provide that, I believe on his two-week pay period, he would provide, to the CFO his reporting.
Okay.
Where is that?
As long as somebody's got it.
Yeah, that's why I put that. That's why that was inserted in there. So at least there's a paper trail of it contemporaneous to it. It's accrual.
Okay. I'm not actually. It's zero. Point number one. So this time, would there be a motion to open to public comment?
Make a motion to open public comment for ordinance number 2019-03.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone has a comment to make related to ordinance number 2019-03, seeing none.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Unless there are any other discussion from the committee, would there be a motion to adopt ordinance 2019-03?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2019-03.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to our third public hearing. This is related to ordinance 2019-04, amending chapter 274 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon regarding peddling and soliciting. There are three significant amendments in this, and I would ask the attorney to correct me if you'd like to add any more, but the first and most significant is to extend the hours from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. that a person with a soliciting license can knock on doors. This is in order to comply with court decisions affirming people's first and other constitutional rights to do business and to speak to people. The second adjustment is that it specifies more specifically the criteria for police background checks and how one would pass those, and it also provides that permits would be granted within 7 days.
The additional thing is it some clarification as to the disqualifying parameters to individuals. Again, as the mayor stated, the court cases land clearly in one direction with that. We have to reduce the subjective criteria and make it more objective. And we've done so in a fashion that we believe is as far as we can go from an enforcement standpoint on behalf of the municipality under the case decisions.
And maybe just to reiterate the background, this was introduced at our last meeting. The township was contacted by a Dallas-based law firm who was working for a pest control company named Aptiv Environmental. They noted that they believed that our current ordinance violated the U.S. Constitution. They told us that they would charge $625 an hour to prosecute changes to our ordinance if we didn't agree to change our ordinance, and that they've won other cases and the like. So we are modifying our ordinance to make sure that we agree with court decisions on how to interpret the U.S. Constitution. At this time, we could open to public hearing if there's a motion, unless there's any other comments from the committee.
Is this word spelled correctly? Is that another variation of therefore?
That would be, I think, there would, we can catch typos, right?
Yeah.
There's not there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Under 274-8, issuance of license refusal, the third line, the word therefore, I think, is missing an E.
Okay. Is there a motion to open public comment?
Make a motion to open public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. When you might come to the microphone that way, and then state your name for the microphone and the road that you live on, please. Thank you.
My name is Wynn Seipel. I live on 408 Berry Drive. And my question is in regard to the rights of the public to refuse to accept someone who wants to solicit business coming to the door. What recourse do we have to keep those people away?
The law provides protection in both directions in that the law acknowledges that people have a right to have people knock on their door, but it also acknowledges the ability of the governing body to create a voluntary list of residents who do not wish to have anybody come to their door. But certainly, the resident retains the selective ability to pick and choose who they want to speak to at their door. But as a broad measure, there is a provision for the enactment of a no knock list or a do not disturb list, similar to the one you would see with regard to your telephone number.
So how does one register for that, and how does that information get transferred to whoever wants to knock on our doors?
Okay. The first part is the governing body would have to act. If they choose to do that, we'd put it on the agenda just the same as this process, put it into place. At that point, the case law, the courts have ruled that the resident has to opt in, as opposed to we can't just put now a lot of people would say just put everybody on, because who wants to be bothered anymore in this day and age? Nope. But the court has said people have, again, an affirmative right. Some people like to have people knock on our door. So it would then be up to the governing body to take steps to, whether it's a newsletter, the website, to get the word out, mailers, things of that nature. And that's not my decision to make. Is that might cost money or whatnot. But once it's there, to let it be known to the residents as quickly and as widely as possible, so people understand they have the option.
Could I just clarify the question as well? If a resident has a no trespassing or no soliciting sign at the end of their driveway, does that give them any rights?
Well, I don't want to litigate the private claim versus the organization, but I mean, there's nothing that our new solicitation peddler's ordinance can do to eliminate somebody's personal rights, a homeowner's right. But again, the court acknowledges a homeowner has a right in both directions, both to be left at peace, but also to have somebody come to their door and attempt to sell them goods and services. So,
obviously, you can't answer it specifically.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and the thing is that, again, there's all, and I don't, some organizations have been accused of aggressive sales tactics. I'm not speaking to anything in particular, but in general, obviously, the regular criminal law and whatnot all still apply. The fact that we can't overly restrict solicitation within the guidelines of the law doesn't mean that it's the Wild West. It doesn't mean they have absolutely no obligation to adhere to the law. I mean, yeah, certainly somebody can't walk in your front door because they have a right to sell you a service or a good.
But right here in the ordinance, it does talk about, you know, if you have a sign, they have to leave. If they leave, if they come and you tell them to leave and they don't leave, we have recourse.
We have, I would say, imposed or proposing as restrictive an ordinance as has been upheld by the courts. Even though it's clearly less restrictive than the one we had in place, at the instruction of the governing body, we sought the maximum level of regulation. I don't want to call it protection, again, because it's been perceived that people may want that knock. But again, they don't get unfettered right to do whatever they want. This has to do with the regulation and permitting and licensing that we can and are allowed to put into place.
My wife has a comment about the individual who actually came to our door.
Yesterday I had somebody come to my door. They rang the bell, and they started talking about pest control on my property, telling me how much it's going to cost. And they never told me what company they're from. They never showed me any documentation from the clerk saying that they were allowed to do this soliciting. And when I asked them for a business card or for some documentation about this stuff they're going to put on my lawn to protect me from my bugs, they had nothing to give. And I think that I understand the clerk provides some kind of a card that shows that they are allowed to do this solicitation in the township of Lebanon. But there was no card shown. There was no business card, no documentation at all. And then the person just walked. I finally got rid of him because he wouldn't stop talking. And I finally told him, I'm not interested. I don't want to waste your time or my time. So please leave. Finally, he left. But I feel these people, if they're going to solicit, they should have to show that the clerk has given them permission. They've paid their fee. And not just this nil. And I'm not the only one. I went to the police department today, and I spoke with Ms. Sandoz, and there were over 20, 25 people who called the police department over the same thing, because it seemed like somebody was just coming around to see who's home during the day, to kind of, it was a little creepy. Who's home during the day? Can I come back here and rob you tomorrow? Well, that's all I have to say, but I think they should be forced to show those documents.
Under Section 274.9, as soon as we can get this on the books and enacted, they will be required to do as you've stated.
Okay, because I felt it was very creepy, and it made me very concerned that they were going to come back in a day or so and rob me during the day if I wasn't home.
Understood. Okay. And like I said, it's explicitly stated in paragraph 274.9. Exactly what you just, I believe, what would require exactly what you're talking about.
And when would that be enacted?
I assume we're going to vote on it tonight as soon as we close this hearing.
But it's
and then it has to be published.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Really
roughly.
Copy
so
far.
Sure.
Okay.
It sounds like the individual is perhaps from the company you mentioned earlier.
So. The timing does not seem to be coincidental, but
those are the only currently active permits.
Or that service.
Any other comments? Thank you.
Hi, Charlie Fortenbacher, 100 Schleicher Road. I had the exact same thing happen to me yesterday. My daughter called me at work and said, Dad, is a man walking down a driveway with an umbrella pouring rain? I said, who is it? Do we know him? She said, no. I said, don't even open the door. Don't answer it. She had to go to work, so she's leaving. The guy was standing out there. No credentials. Not even a vehicle. No paperwork, no business cards or nothing. He gave her the spiel about wanting to protect our lawn from bugs, from cobwebs, rodents, this and that. My daughter's very friendly, so she engaged him in the conversation about what he's doing. She asked him about a business card, any kind of paperwork. The guy had nothing. Nothing at all. I don't know if he had any ID on him. She didn't see any ID. She did see the Aptiv shirt on his, or a letter or name on his shirt, but that was the extent of it. I mean, this is right. How can we let this? This doesn't seem right. It just does not seem right. I mean, if no one's home, I mean, I don't lock my doors. I don't think a lot of people live with Hancho lock their doors. How do I know that guy just wouldn't come up and turn the doorknob? I mean, I don't know who these people are. I don't like solicitors. I thought we had a law against that. Now, this whole thing just doesn't seem right.
We did have an ordinance on the books, like most towns, and we're required now under court decisions that have come down, both federally and in the state, to tighten up our ordinance, which is why it's on the agenda tonight, which the board will most likely take action on in the next several minutes to put this on the books and it's in as strong as a fashion that the courts will allow us to.
Is this the only solicitor that's active? Is there more that have applied for permits? I believe that's the only crime.
This year, yeah. We had Anderson Window for a few years. They were here.
But currently that's the only company. It's just weird. No documentation, not even a vehicle. These guys walking down the road, it could have been anybody walking down the road. You know, you can go buy a shirt somewhere that says the company, and, hey, I'm with this company, and, I mean, next thing you know, they'll pop you on the head and go into your house.
Going forward, Matt, without credentials, you call the police, they haul them away, right?
Well, they're going to be in violation of the ordinance, correct. Exactly. They're going to be in violation of the ordinance. They're going to know. I don't understand how it would even help them sell their product, either. I mean, that just seems to be bad business, too.
He had a laptop, a little iPad on him. And he was doing everything on the iPad, my daughter was saying. But, I mean, not even a brochure, not even a vehicle, nothing. Yeah. Nothing. It could have been anybody walking down the road with an iPad.
Absolutely.
You know? I don't know. It just doesn't seem right that we've got to put up with this. You know. So, but the other thing, you're saying, if we put a no soliciting sign, would that prohibit anybody from coming on my property?
Again, you have the same property rights you have regardless of this ordinance being here or not being here. It's your property. It's not theirs. And like you said, they're standing on your porch. You want them to leave. You put them on notice. They have to comply with other state law and local ordinances. With regard to this particular issue, like I said, we're just in a transitional phase where within a matter of, I don't know, how long is it going to take to get it published? That we'll have more teeth in a direct regard. And if there is if there's a no-knock ordinance drafted, that's another step. The no-knock ordinance works in that once you opt on, when they come in for the permit, the license to do this, they're advised as to who they cannot solicit. So now the burden's on them. So they have to comply with
certain homeowners they can't solicit?
Correct.
And how do we get on that list?
Well, we have to create it first.
We have to create
it. Then how you get on it will be to opt on it, meaning you're going to have to advise the town that you want to be on it. The courts have said we can't just put everybody on it.
Okay.
Because people have a right to have their doors knocked on.
So when are we going to know when we can be on this list? We're working on it.
Yeah, it's going to require a few additional action, not just with what we're doing tonight.
We have to do it in steps.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's clear then. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I
know. I was doing,
I missed the fact that
it's all right. I was deep in thought there. Just
yeah, I have. Okay. Matt, would you mind in 274-8, issuance of license refusal, item C, be willing to change, if it's appropriate, him/her and his/her to licensee.
Where are you at?
Here. It's
page 6. Top page 6, paragraph 6?
Yeah, just we could talk about it at some other time, but I sent out an email about something.
No, I saw your email.
You know, and it's kind of like, you know, and then...
I don't believe that in any way alters the intent of the ordinance, and it's not a material change, doesn't require additional advertisement, and I have no problem if the board, if the governing body instructs to make that, or agrees to make that change, that it can be made tonight and be inserted.
That would be globally, like in the next section, I see one or two.
It was, I didn't pick up on it. Oh, I didn't pick up on it, yeah, okay.
You try to globally change that?
Yeah.
Do you need a vote on that?
So, we just say is the vote that all, I just want to word this properly, that all pronouns should be
gender neutral.
Gender neutral. Okay. That's if so instructed, that's the committee's.
Without objection, you're so instructed, or would you like a motion?
No, I think because we're in an ordinance adoption, we should vote on it.
Okay.
Or you should vote on it.
Maybe we can make a motion.
I will make a motion that in Ordinance 2019-04, amending Chapter 274 of the Township of Lebanon regarding peddling and soliciting, that all references to gender be changed to gender neutral.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And we were just advised that that doesn't change the... Unless you have other comments?
No.
I have just one curiosity, and when I read it now, did we take out the photograph thing? Because it's stricken on this copy.
That's with regard to when they come in to apply.
Right. It's gone now? Didn't we used to do that?
Let me find it.
It's
top of page 6.
Yeah, top of page 6. It's like stricken on this copy, and I'm just curious if it's...
When they come in to apply, what they apply with no longer includes the photograph?
Yeah.
Correct. But it does require...
Oh, no, that's the license that's issued then. If the issued license doesn't...
Right, because there's a question of whether we had the ability to do that.
Oh.
That was something we discussed. Do we have the ability to produce that? A photo ID badge?
That's what they have now.
From us?
Yeah.
We now can do that.
Yeah.
I have them provide me with a 2x2-inch photo.
Okay.
And then I attach it to the permit that I give them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I issued 28 of them.
Like all the
you issued them all, and they're not wearing them right now?
Recess.
Well, they can't wear them. They would have to catch because they're larger.
Okay.
But... have them on them.
With the assessors that are, you know, that are coming around, like they went to my father, they had, yeah. Gave them all kinds of paperwork before they even talked to him. You know, mm-hmm. That they got issued. You know, they're trying to follow the rules, and these people are trying to abuse it. Just
off. Can we unstrike the photo?
Yeah, if you wish to, sure. As long as Karen's ready to enact that, that's fine.
Okay, then I'll make a motion to unstrike the words and photograph of the licensee on top of page 6.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And would your opinion be that, Matt, that doesn't change?
No, correct. Correct, Mayor, I'm sorry. And just to be clear, the following paragraph does require them to wear it and for it to be visible.
Yes.
So, regardless of the size, that's on them. So.
Okay.
In this particular, once this is in...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry, Martin, can I make a motion to second that?
Right. Any other comments on the ordinance? If there's no other comments or discussion, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2019-04?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Do you want me to report back at a future meeting on the no-knock?
Yes.
Okay.
That the earliest available?
I can make the next one. I'm so instructed.
Okay.
All right, I'll do so.
Thank you. Now to Resolution 52-2019, which is a motion opposing Mr. Murphy's state education aid cuts. Let's turn that to our liaison to the schools.
Okay. On March 19th, the Hunterdon County Freeholders adopted a resolution opposing Governor Murphy's local education aid cuts, and we wanted to strengthen that with our own specifics for Lebanon Township, so we are introducing Resolution Number 52-2019, which is opposing Governor Murphy's education funding cuts to Lebanon Township local and regional school systems. And in the ordinance, what we did was we showed some camaraderie with the other towns. We kept a lot of the language the same, but then we got into Lebanon Township. More than 72%, closer to 75% of our property taxes are already applied towards school funding, and with the substantial loss in educational aid, it's going to continue for another 6 years, they're predicting. So we just wanted to send a strong message that it is going to hurt our school systems, and you know, talk about the short and long-term sustainability of the schools. It's going to be harder to maintain such critical items as support services for students, building maintenance, and facilities upgrades, including security enhancements and IT. And we would like to, the state has a push to do some, a push on social and emotional learning for the kids, not just academic. They want them to grow socially and emotionally beyond that. So that's a state initiative, and we would like to expand that, but we're going to have a hard time doing it without the state aid. So that's kind of the gist of it, and we're going to send it to all of the same people that the freeholders did, which is State Senate President Sweeney, Governor Phil Murphy, Speaker Craig Coughlin, Senate Minority Leader Tom Kane Jr., Assembly Minority Leader John Bramnick, Senator Michael J. Doherty, Senator Kip Bateman, Senator Shirley K. Turner, Assemblyman John DeMeo, Assemblyman Eric Peterson, Assemblyman Ray Freeman, Assemblyman John Andrew Zwicker, Assemblywoman Verlene Reynolds Jackson, and Assemblyman Anthony S. Varelli.
And the budget's not yet adopted, so there's still time.
Right. Good point.
For this to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing how much is getting brought out of just Hunterdon County. I mean, a reduction of $2 million just in Hunterdon County alone.
Right.
Any other discussion? Or is there a motion to adopt Resolution 52-2019?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 52-2019.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next resolution, 53-2019. This is for a museum grant application. The New Jersey Council for the Humanities has a opening for an incubation, so-called incubation grant, which is a grant to work with the state on how to implement a plan. So it's not just for a specific plan, but it's a so-called incubation grant. Grant amounts up to $5,000. The proposal from the museum curator and historians are that we've collected more than 40 audio and video recordings of oral histories over the years in their so-called storytelling programs. These are not, they're on different formats. They're difficult to index, difficult to know what parts are interesting. We think this oral history would be interesting to the entire state of New Jersey if it could be made more accessible. So the proposal here is to apply for the New Jersey Council of Humanities incubation grant in order to plan how to preserve the oral history of Lebanon Township. And this resolution would authorize the mayor to execute the documents for such application. Any comments, discussion?
I'll make a motion for approved resolution 53-2019.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Old business. First item on old business is, are you here as members of the Park Committee or the Friends of Memorial Park?
This is Friends.
Both Friends. Oh, wow, look at this.
Nice, real cool friends.
Mm. Well, it's just preliminary. Just the idea.
We could have shared.
Likes the ammonia style.
Yeah. One for each. You need a back on us now.
Yeah.
And just for the recording, if you could just identify yourselves and then.
Yes, Doreen Blutt from Wood Glen Road.
And Eric Petrick from 7 Boulderfield Road. I just got the preliminary sketches from Ezio Columba, who agreed to work with us on this project. And so far, it's looking pretty cool. On the top left, that's the footprint. So when we went up there and looked at where it would go, we're still planning to put it where the volleyball courts are. And
right where they are or on the far end of them?
No, right where they are. Okay. And moving those down to in front of the concession station toward the road. So as you're driving down the road here, it would be right in front of the concession stand. Right, they would start creeping into the...
Just past the septic field.
Yes. And Doreen's going to have...
Oh. Pass these out?
Yeah.
Now? Okay. So this is
and just an
overview of the park. And we placed in where the volleyball courts would be, the new volleyball courts.
That's all roughly, because the septic's over there.
Yes.
And actually, Charlie did mark them out, you know, a rough area where they
thank
were.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
The septic's not shown on here. Is it sort of between the volleyball courts and the...
Yeah.
The
septic's directly behind the concession stand, looking at it from the park.
Okay.
So as you go out into the field, that's where the septic is. So we have to... You know, kind of just...
The really green
just
grass.
Well, we might have somebody to do that.
We have to stake that, too, right now.
I thought I saw someone.
Yeah, that's, okay. That's the circumference, the size of the old court.
Okay.
So what we're looking at here, it's these plans have it at 32 feet wide, 30 deep. The actual stage itself would be 16 by width. And that little wall there, if you look down at the picture below it, that's what it would look at. It's like a privacy wall. So if you're doing a performance, you could have a staging area behind there for props and stuff like that. If you have different bands on, you can keep your equipment there and just kind of, you know, just stage the area before you get on stage.
So on that lower corner, the opening is 16 feet and then roughly 8 feet on either side to get to your total of 32 feet? Is that the... Is that right?
It would be 16 feet.
Oh, 32.
And the width wide. The performing area.
Right.
Yes.
So, like, where you show the shadows of people and the...
Yes.
That opening is 16 feet. And then there's two little walls on, two like eight
yeah.
walls on
that's
the
20.
End.
That's 20.
The wall's 20.
The wall's 20. Oh, okay.
Six on each
okay.
side.
Okay. Sorry.
What else? And with that, the foundation, when I talked to him, he said it would be concrete. We would put the bluestone on the outside. Concrete, you know, the money's. All these details are depending on how much money we get. But he's thinking. Of putting a coat of epoxy on top of it and sealing it. So that would be the stage, and also to bring in and raise it up. So if you're looking, because with this design, he wants to avoid putting a railing up. So we would have to build up behind it and over on the side. If you look at the side picture here, he's planning on having steps on one side and then just grading the ground itself, so it would be accessible for wheelchairs and everything like that. So there would be nothing really built in for that. It would just kind of, you know, we would set up the grounds around it. And then in the front there, too, it could slope down so that we could still avoid doing the railing, but then, like, the whole stage itself would be raised so that you can sit around and look at it. So with the storage area, he asked me to just, you know, I mean, we got to figure out what kind of storage we would need for that. For the roof, he, for this, what he has in mind, talking about a foam thing with a finished bottom that would go on top of this stage, and then it would just be a metal roof on top. Yeah, and then he said he could use like 2x4, 2x6 planking for the side there. I mean, this is all stuff we could talk about too. You know, and then a choice of timber. But he just wanted to kind of give us an idea of what he was envisioning too. And with the details and stuff, again, that's going to be, you know, based on money and funds and who's willing to do what, and, you know.
You're going to be soundproofing with the roof?
Well, that's kind of what he said. It acts as an insulator. So for this, it wouldn't be for heat or anything, but it would be for sound. So that
right.
If it was raining and you're performing, you're not hearing the din of rain on
right.
You know, so.
Because I hear it on my pole barn, that's why I was...
Right, no, he said it works. Actually, he showed me some pictures that he's redoing a barn, but it's like it's somebody's living space, and it's all that. So it's really nice, actually.
It is. Where's the epoxy that you said, is it on the
floor? He said the stage would be a concrete slab.
On the floor. Okay.
At first, I thought when he said bluestone for the stage, that's for the just
it's the veneer.
That's the veneer on the outside.
Right. Exactly. So he said with if we do concrete, there's like no maintenance, and if we have the money to put the epoxy on it, it's just going to seal it and protect it more. So. And also, like he was telling me with the front, with that beam there would be 14 feet high. And if we wanted to hook some stuff up for a curtain, if people wanted to do something like that, like there's a lot of different things.
Or a banner, maybe, or something.
Yeah. You just wanted it high enough so that
if
you want to put something up, then you know it wouldn't impede on anything.
It looks pretty nice, really.
Yeah.
There's electric run to this?
Yes. It's that we haven't put in the plans yet. This is just what we're planning on having permanent lighting. And he said a lot of the electric would probably go behind this wall here, so up through here, because he said he has a ledge here, built like that line behind the wall there, and he said that could be like a ledge, and if we need to run any wiring, just hook it up right to the back here, so you're plugging right into that wall, which makes sense. I mean, that's probably the best place for it.
Do you need water run to that, or is there other hydrants running out?
No water. Just electric. But the lighting, what we are thinking about is permanent lighting, and then just enough used to get, you know, power some amps and those kind of things. You know, or if you wanted to hook into that for something, if you weren't doing anything on the stage, we'd need it. You know,
is there enough at that box right at the corner of that?
Yeah, it's a two and a half service up there. Really,
yeah, but isn't there a box like right off the corner where the stage is supposed to go, like that's on that hill?
Yeah, just 110. That's just an outlet.
Oh, that's just an outlet.
I don't think so. We still have plenty of power up there to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah, I know I had a big panel. I didn't know if there was already run over to that. I knew there was a box in there.
No, that's just the one from one outlet over there.
Oh, okay.
When you run the service, would you run enough in case you wanted to have heat for the storage room? I'm not thinking that, like, livable heat, but just in case you wanted to store stuff that wouldn't freeze. Is that...
We're probably going to figure out that we have a 100-amp service over
then
there.
Then you'd have
that minimum.
Then you want a refrigerator in here so they can have water in the back. This is a performance stuff. You're going to need a little setup area.
Yep.
And there's a speaker right behind you already.
A refrigerator, mirror.
You're always thinking.
Gotta have a place to hang some clothing and stuff.
I think Brian's thinking about a doghouse.
A couple double stack Marshalls right here, a couple PV speakers for the vocals on top.
Brian knows where he can go when he gets into trouble at home. Go behind the stage.
Yeah, so this is just the rough stuff right now, but I guess
looks
what we're
good.
Trying to figure out is. Now we just got to start raising some money for this.
So I guess also looking at this, the stage going where the volleyball court's looking at the committee's approval that we see no issue with moving the volleyball courts.
Right. Okay, so
That's where I come in.
Okay.
We decided when we were waiting for these plans, we were spinning our wheels saying, okay, how are we going to get moving on this? And we know that that spot is probably the best spot to put the stage. So we said we should really notify custom alloy Adam Ambieli, who put in, donated, I guess, the volleyball courts. So I met him up at the park, and I said, so this is where we're planning the stage, right over the volleyball courts. And he said, well, then we'll move them. And I said, well, you know, that's hard. He said, well, we'll move them. So he's actually volunteering to have his people come and put the volleyball courts behind, you know, where we located. This is a rough sketch. And then also fill in where the old volleyball court was. So that's really a nice thing. But I said, well, just wait a second, because he was saying, okay, well, you just have to mark where I can begin. And I said, have to do things have changed. We really have to go through. And so part of this is finding out what steps we need to take to disturb the land, whatever. So that's really what I'm here to ask.
So just to understand better, where the volleyball courts would move to, is that one of the fields that's farmed or hay is cut by someone else?
Yes.
Very but yeah. Where they're going, that where they would go, he doesn't mow there. He doesn't grow his hay there.
Grass.
The township mows it as grass. That's I'm just confirming.
Yeah, Bob does all that.
Yeah. Okay. Because I mean, if it's an area that's currently mowed, I can't imagine it's a change of use then. In even the most extreme technical, I mean, it's not a change of use. It's the park. It's a recreation.
Only thing we've used it for is parking.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not going to materially change the amount of parking. I mean,
no,
the park way
not
out,
not
right? So there's no change to the amount of parking.
And it's far enough away where if a ball should roll out, somebody should chase the ball, and he's out there cutting hay.
If he remembers to cut the hay.
But that's true. It's nowhere close to the road.
If they're playing with Superman, maybe they get it to the road. You know?
It's all right there. It would actually breathe life into that a little bit.
I'd like to see the little pavilion being used a little more.
Is there an as-built of the septic field, like a design somewhere? We have
those maps. I didn't bring them, but we have them.
So they can map it out pretty accurately.
Well, that's a question. When you say they, would that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Would we require? I mean, would your donator provide an engineer to do it, or should we have Steve Reese, you know, mark out the septic just to make sure we don't have equipment or
that's what
the
I'm
wrong
thinking.
Place?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Yeah.
It'd be nice if the township considered having the engineer look at the septic field as well as where they're going to place the actual stage, and maybe he can do a little drawing for us that would give them points of reference.
Because eventually, after the volleyball, the existing volleyball court is filled in, then, according to this design, we need to build up the back of the stage. So the stage is kind of being built into a bank.
Right. So what I'm seeing is you're going to have a structural block foundation that's going to go in.
Right, yeah.
There'll be fill on the inside of that for the concrete to be held, woven wire, rebar, whatever the design that you come up with. And fieldstone on the outside. So really, I think the grading almost should be done after the stage elevation is somewhat set.
Oh, yeah. Back,
you know, so you take a cut from here, you add over there, you cut from here. You know, so I don't know if the committee's in mind to have Steve Reese help out here, but I think that's what we need to do to get us all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, have them set the elevation of the stage and mark
out
the septic.
Flags flying, that will give you a benchmark based on these plans.
Sure.
You know,
are these plans final enough to start marking out? Or, I mean, the volleyball, the septic and the volleyball sounds like that. We know the size of a volleyball. Right. That we could do. I just, you know, said we're not doing it twice. If you're hearing an interest in having it done, if you want a little more time to work with the architect, then...
I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I think we need to get the architect a little bit further along where they have buildable drawings and then maybe have a job site meeting with the engineer and the architect.
Yeah.
And the principals that are going to be overseeing it.
But I think at this point we could authorize the engineer to mark out the septic.
Yes.
And so that they can move on the volleyball.
Yes.
Because that's critical to keep everything else moving is getting the volleyball courts moved.
Yep. I would have him look at the volleyball location just to make sure there's nothing we're not thinking about.
Okay. I'm cool with it.
So would there be a motion to authorize? I guess the motion would be to authorize the engineer to mark out the septic system and
the preliminary courts.
New location for the volleyball courts and report back to the committee if he sees any issues either way.
Anything
with
the elevation or anything with the stage while he's out.
As a preliminary review of the stage area.
Based on these present plans.
I'll make that motion as stated by the mayor.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. If you'd like, I can. The question is, I can call Steve Reese or.
I was going to call Steve.
I'll call Steve Reese. Who should be his contact to your group?
Since I'm in contact with the architect,
I think that would be. Okay. Very good. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to update us on?
No, that's...
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
all right.
Great.
Be in touch. Yep. Do you want this back for the rest of your group? Or, I mean, we should probably keep one for the minutes.
I got to ask you that. Matt, when do we have to vote on that we can move the volleyball courts? Do we have to wait until all this takes place here?
You probably should do it after Steve does his email. There may be other issues you have raised.
And if you need more than printed, let me know.
You authorize Steve to go out there and review this now.
I also print them on Tyvek. If you want to put them up there, they can rain down on it, and then it doesn't run away.
No.
Kind of
thing. You know what? There was a
next item of business is a letter from our DPW supervisor regarding the bids that came in for the Mechanics Bay floor. Do you want to discuss?
Sure. Yeah, well, we could all chime in, but basically on April 30th, the bids were opened for the Mechanics Bay floor. It needed to be redone, and they came in at $97,200, and a lot of that is due to the prevailing wage requirement.
It was one bid, right.
So Warren wants to go out for bids again.
So I think the DPW supervisor's point in the letter is that the cost substantially exceeds the cost estimate, which would be a basis to reject the bid if that's the...
Correct. That's the standard to reject and go back out under the same specs.
Mm-hmm.
So would there be...
And this is the same stuff we've been talking about. Like
yes.
The scope of it hasn't changed anything since...
Making sure I'm like...
In a deja vu land here. Getting out of control of the price. I mean, this is...
So
way
be
beyond what...
Two questions before us. Number one is whether we accept or reject the bid. And then would we need a second motion if we want to go out for bid again?
Correct.
Okay, so let's first deal with the question of whether we would accept or reject this bid.
I make a motion we reject this bid.
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, we only received one bid here. The question would be, would we authorize with the same specs, no additional engineering work, to go out and see if there are other vendors closer to the price that we expect?
I know we've been through this more than once. Is there, if there's any revision, is there anything? I know the answer. I don't profess that. I know that there is, but now's the time.
What is this? I mean, we went so many.
Should we wait 2 weeks and ask? I mean, we don't have to take that action.
I just pragmatically thinking, if we're not changing it at all, and if we had gotten three bids and they were all too high, somebody's going to sharpen their pencil. I don't know that with one bidder if we're going to have any more luck, unless we. I don't know. I know we've beaten the specs around quite a few times already.
I was told that somebody wanted to bid, but they thought it was a drainage project. They didn't read the specs the right way.
All right.
So
well,
I didn't think they were
going
to make any changes to the specs.
All right.
So would we like to authorize rebidding the specs as they are, or have a discussion?
And this is still the grind down, or what?
No, this is now cutting out.
This is the full cut. Okay, this is the full cut. I'm sorry, which one we're working with?
Four feet in, cutting out.
Okay.
Resetting the drains, reforming the concrete.
Okay.
With the specs of this bid.
Okay.
Now,
I'm trying to remember which bid we're working on.
Explain to me about this prevailing wage thing. Is it a requirement that it has to be?
Yes.
Because that's probably going to be a problem.
No, I think.
Right.
I think it's 15.
Well, 15, 17, yeah. It's involved. Way more than this.
Yeah.
I mean, way less than this.
Yeah.
Way less than this.
So. Yeah, I think it's 15 and change or 17.
15, 4, 44.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That would have been set up.
We're not getting it for that much.
No.
So the question is, do we want to think about this for another 2 weeks and then make a decision next meeting, or do we want to?
I don't really have to think about it.
I just get it over with, you know. Get it in, see what it is, and make a decision. That's what I would say. I'll make a motion. Unless there's a reason why you want it.
No. So the motion on the before the committee is to authorize rebidding same specs at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion, or is there a second to that motion?
I guess a second.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Well, so what are you doing?
Stuck in the middle.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Three to two, yes,
we're going out for bids.
Ryan and Tom, we're in.
One more time.
The two guys on the end were no.
Yeah, okay. I just missed my
just so we can say we did our due diligence.
This is Kiss's final tour.
The Who.
That's right.
Farewell tour again.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we also had road material bids that came in. Would you like to give the summary?
Yes. Well, the summary is that we're currently paying $59.50 per ton for the. It's an annual quote, and that's Warren Materials, and we went out for bid, and the bids came in higher, and you know, there was somebody else. I think that
the lowest bid here substantially exceeds the estimates for the.
So same situation. We think the bids that we received substantially exceed the estimated mm-hmm. cost. That would be a basis for rejecting
mm-hmm.
these bids. That's the motion put forth. If someone would make that motion, or if there's any other discussion or other motion.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
And this is a motion to reject the bids that we received.
Yes.
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 Now, do we need to make the motion?
The motion was made.
Okay.
We're waiting for yeses.
Is it my turn to do the yes? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So now the motion would be to rebid on the same specs, authorizing the DPW manager to go and see if we can get a better price.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And the third item from the DPW also relates to the summer help advertising. The window closed. The summary from our DPW liaison is?
We would like to go out for rebid. We would like to ask our re-advertising. There's too many bids going on here. Go out to re-advertise for the summer help from June until September 1st, 2019. because the last advertisement said that the applications were due April 30th. So, any objections to going out?
And we didn't receive any
within
the time.
Nothing, no. And I did surface a couple of other opportunities where we may run the ad.
Would it be covered by the grant program again?
Yeah.
Still be
something. Would that be
Clean Community.
Clean
Community. So.
What are we going to advertise the price at?
Where?
The wage rate?
15 to 17. Mm.
Yep.
15 to 17 to 15.
Yes.
So is that a motion?
Yeah.
Make you have to continue advertising, re-advertise for summer help employees?
Yeah. Do you want to put a deadline on this? Of
why don't we say June 30th at this point?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, let's hold up. If we say June 30th, does that mean we couldn't hire someone before June 30th?
No.
So we have to wait till this period closes?
No. I mean,
if we find a good candidate,
You can do it on a rolling basis if you want. You haven't gotten any applications.
So we can keep this advertising open to June 30th?
Keep the advertisements pending.
Since it's a summer position, if we find someone June 6th, we
bless him.
Based on this, Warren would have to come back if he exceeded the two individuals.
Okay.
His only spending authority would be within that two person.
Well, yeah, he can't hire more than two, but he doesn't have to wait till the period closes to make a decision.
No.
Okay.
So do we still just continue to say the application deadline is June 30th? Is that how you'd say application deadline? Or the way it's said right now, which I could look it up on my phone if you really need.
You can say that you can give him the discretion to hire as soon as he receives a qualified applicant.
But what about the ad itself?
With the closing deadline, you guys to set whether it's the 30th of June or whether it's... If he doesn't get anybody by the 30th of June,
mm-hmm.
and somebody comes in the first week of July, technically he's going to have to come back here then. I mean, you don't have to necessarily...
Well, if we're rolling, why don't we say it till the end of July then?
Yeah, that's fine. That way...
Is there any Clean Communities stipulation with the time dates?
No, not for time.
Okay. Not for time.
So July 30th, you're going to make it?
July 30th.
Let's say July. I would propose July 30th.
Mm-hmm.
With giving the DPW supervisor the discretion to hire a qualified candidate.
Prior to that date.
Prior to that date. So that would be the motion for the committee.
That's Beth's motion, right?
Right, so moved.
Correct.
Right. We're going to extend the application deadline to July 30th, repost the job, and give the DP supervisor discretion to hire before July 30th if he finds applicants that are qualified, up to two.
Second.
Yes. I have two other little items under old business to update you on. First, the long-awaited municipal doors are set to be delivered Monday. The contractor is set to start on Monday, so it should be a few-day event to get the doors to the meeting room and the doors to the reception area placed. Assuming they come in undamaged, assuming they come in sized as damaged, et cetera. So, the other old item of business we could use an update on is this Saturday is the Township Volunteer and Employee Appreciation Picnic. Any update you'd like to give?
94 people so far RSVP'd for it.
So
you should have a good turnout.
Excellent. Any other old business that anyone? Yeah. With that, we're on to new business. First item of new business, DPW manager request to purchase a trailer. This was approved in the, or allocated, approved in our 2018 budget. This is the air tow trailer, which allows it to go down in order for the
roller to
launch it on. He's received, in the letter it says two, but I believe he's received three quotes at this point. And the one he recommends, the low quote, is from Rockline Products for $15,168. The CFO is certified the funds are available. Any discussion? Could there be a motion to authorize purchase.
Make a motion authorize the DPW manager's request to purchase a trailer.
Air tow trailer.
Air tow trailer.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is DPW manager request to purchase a backhoe. This was put in his budget request earlier this year, which we did approve in the budget request. As an update, I was able to talk today again to the we've applied for a NJDEP Stop the Soot grant. We have verbal approval that we would be granted 30% toward the purchase price. The only issue is that instead of trading in the existing backhoe for $6,000, we would have to render it inoperable. The issue is that they expect in the next couple of weeks that they'll be able to get us the grant contract paperwork. We can't order the unit before we get the grant contract paperwork back and forth. Warren told me today the actual delivery date, if we ordered it today, he's being told the lead time is out to August at this point. So he's, you know, he's for a 30% grant, he's okay to try to wait this out a couple of weeks. What we didn't want to do is get the grant, then it falls in between our meetings, then we wait a couple of weeks. So the motion would be to allow the purchase of the backhoe, not necessarily contingent on the grant, but in coordination with the grant.
And how's the proper way of disabling this old machine?
They tell us all we have to do is like drilling through the crankcase.
Yeah, and that's actually a follow-up item because he says the DEP has to advise because if he puts a hole in the motor, he can't move the current backhoe and it won't be able to go up and down with the bucket if there's a hole in the motor. And I guess so he's got to know what they're going to do with it or do we need to take it away or what do we have to do?
Well, I guess until we get the grant to prove we're not doing anything with it.
Right.
You'd be able to get some money for it, scrap money for the steel.
Okay. Yeah, as long as it's inoperable,
right.
I think the steel is still ours.
Yeah.
They probably have to come out and inspect it and say,
okay,
yeah.
There's
a whole process. Yeah.
So are we authorizing the purchase of a John Deere
backhoe
for $110,409.76? CFO certifies the funds are available.
And that's in coordination with the grant?
In coordination with the timing of the grant.
Right. Getting back the 30% or whatever. There, yeah. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yeah. And the last item on the agenda for new business is the fire department request for their annual donation in the amount of $80,000. That is in the budget that we approved last, or that adopted last meeting. Any discussion or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the fire department request for their annual donation of $80,000.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any other new business from the committee? If not, then we're on to presentation of vouchers.
I have one.
Mine is from Griffin Allied Trucking for gasoline for the police for $1,180.53.
I have New Jersey Health Benefit Plan for the month of May, $34,830.31. Cooperative Communications, our phone bill, which is very close
done
to being done, is $1,058.34. LMR Disposal, this was for the spring cleanup day, less a credit that we got for the scrap metal of $409. The total cost of that day was $2,609.20, and that is on a Clean Communities grant.
I have one for Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, for $1,574.56 for diesel for the DPW. I have one for Protex Systems for $1,890 for a field service call on the CO and CO detectors. Got one for Warren Materials for $1,398.33 for asphalt. And another one for Warren Materials for $2,314.01 for more asphalt. and that's all that applies.
I have two that qualify here. The first one is for Gebhardt and Kiefer. This is for our professional service for our rendering for the month of April. $2,084. And the next one I have is also for Gebhardt and Kiefer. And this is for CWA negotiations from a time period of February 28th to March 25th. And that total is $2,038.51.
So the total voucher list is $59,692.67. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Now, a couple items of correspondence. First, the April 4th, 2019 meeting minutes from the Recreation Commission.
And, you know, just the April, no, I mean, the highlights, we had the ACON, we had the family science program with the owl dissection of the pellets, spring nature walk, and movies in the park. And just to highlight again that the movie in the park on July 12th is going to be a camp out in the park as well. And we're trying to work on the details for that, so it's going to be a fun event, and I will be there.
Is the June 14th event noted in the minutes for insurance, or is that... Well, just do it. Two movie nights in the park on the minutes, Friday, yeah. June 14th, and Friday, July 12th. Next is correspondence from the Volunteers of Fatima. This is their letter of intent, just notifying the town that they will have approximately 350 pedestrians walking through the township. This is on the Memorial Day weekend, May 25th, 26th, 27th of 2019. They provide their own flag vehicles, etc. If there's no other discussion. Noted. Next is the tax collector's report for the month ending May 30th. Taxes collected for the year 2019, $2,606,916.87. Taxes collected for the year 2018, $42,152. Interest collected, $5,004.57. Year-end penalty collected of $977.97. Penalty interest, $52.32. Municipal lien redemptions, $13,793.59. Outside lien redemption of $8,704.01. Return premium, subtraction of $7,500. Trailer court fee, $2,220. Return check fee of $20 for total receipts of $2,679,841.33. And the last item of correspondence is the curator's report for the township committee, for our township committee meeting. Anything the liaison would like to highlight?
No. Except for our Stars and Stripes Fabric of American Spirit on June 13th, I think will be a nice event. And the opening reception is going to be sponsored by Squires Point. I think everyone should try to get to that if they could at the museum.
No other correspondence. So this time, is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. This time, any member of the public who has coming on any item.
Charlie Fortenbacher, 100 Schleicher Road. First thing to do, I want to say I want to thank Warren Gabriel for taking care of the root problem we have up at the park and the walkways. A couple of trees, the roots are growing over the walk, underneath the walkways, and they're buckling. And he went up there and saw, cut them out, and backfilled them and tamped them and put new asphalt down there. So I want to thank him for that. I want to thank Brian Wonder for taking care of the septic system up there for us, for pumping it out. It's never been done since it's been installed, so I'm sure it needed it, and no charge to us, so big thank you for that. The third thing is, I'm having a problem with a neighbor accumulating junk, car parts, stock cars. Is there any kind of ordinance we have in our town for this? I mean, I drive past my girlfriend's house all the time on Hill Road. You've got a mess that's accumulated on that, on the right-hand side down here. I don't know whose house it is, but it looks like a junkyard right next to the road. That's what's starting to happen up by my house. It's the intersection where we put the light. back in there, that corner right there, and if you drive down St. Nicholas, there's another house back there. The junk is all over the front yard. I talked to the code official, and basically he's been up to my area at least twice with complaints and talked to these people to no avail. What recourse do we have for this kind of stuff in our town?
I don't think we'll go into great detail. This is not the forum for it, but I would suggest you could talk to the clerk. The county will investigate solid waste violations, which can be, and that doesn't mean like food and things. That's, you know, if it's clearly looks like someone's collecting.
I mean, you guys know the house I'm talking about right here on Hill Road.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks horrible. Right. I mean, we don't want our town looking like that.
So there's the if it violates a solid waste ordinance, the county will prosecute that. If there are unregistered vehicles, the zoning officer, it sounds like he's looked at that and it's
he
not
has.
An unregistered vehicle.
Stock cars. They're basically this guy runs cars down at New Egypt, I think. I mean, it was, in the beginning it was one or two. We're up to like five now, you know, and the car parts all over the side of the yard. Went up there and actually talked to him about it. He has cleaned it up, but it's a mess. It's in St. Nicholas Village. If you drive back in there, you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, it's bad, and it's getting worse. I mean, how do we combat this, or what do we do? I mean,
so again, obviously we don't know the property. We can't speak about the specifics, but we've discussed from time to time the idea of a property maintenance ordinance.
I mean, it's past mowing a lawn thing. It's not even like that.
I don't care. But that's where we've already gotten to. If we start opening that door, then it gets down to measuring how tall the grass is, and one person's art is another person's junk, and it's we haven't.
True, but just thinking forward, we do have two junk or salvage yard license places in the township.
I mean, is this guy one of them down here?
Maybe this falls underneath that cup because it's big steel vehicles.
I guess the zoning officer, I guess.
Yeah, just, thinking out loud here. But.
All right, I talked to the zoning officer. He told me to come before you guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's getting worse, and it makes the neighborhood look like junk. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And like I said, I drive past this one down here on the right. I mean, that place is that's horrible. And it's getting worse. I mean, these blue containers are everywhere now, so no, the color sticks out besides all the junk on his front lawn. I mean, I don't know. No one's complained about that, or no one, I mean, I can't picture being that guy's neighbor. I mean, I'd be up in arms. I was up in arms with my neighbor, what he's doing over there, And it's just, I could see accumulate yard stuff or tractors, but stock cars all over your yard, this is a neighborhood. It's not a commercial lot. And I guess basically because he's not advertising anything there. It's like, I think this guy basically is renting out space for other people's cars. I mean, I can't picture him running five stock cars himself, and of course he said no. But I mean, it's not meant to be. It shouldn't be there, And the worst part about it is right around the corner on Schleicher Road where that light's put, these cars stick out like a sore thumb up on a hill. Something should be done. I mean, I'm getting ticked off about it, I keep my property pretty neat, everybody does up there, except for this mess, and I mean, I don't know, who else you call, what recourse do we have?
We'll have to take it and review further. I don't think we can say anything tonight.
No, just, I want it to be addressed.
Bring it to us.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ticking me on, especially this mess down here. I mean, wow. I mean, it's not getting better. It's not getting cleaned up. That guy's bringing more stuff in down here. I mean, people drive past that. It's like, that looks terrible for a town.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of people keep their places nice around here.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're not the only one that's mentioned it, so.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. And like I said, when I called the code official, he told me he's been out to my place across the street twice already, that he's had complaints, and he's told the guy about it, and it's gotten worse. You just don't understand how you can do that to other neighbors, People, like I said, people they like to keep their place presentable and nice, and you got this guy, it looks like crap. So I want that to be addressed, if somehow we can eventually, I don't know, I mean, I guess there's no code for that in town, or I mean, for that kind of...
We don't have a property maintenance code.
Why don't we have a property maintenance code?
Because it's
slippery slope. It's a slippery slope, especially with farms and everything. It's got to be thought through. But it's noted that other people are saying this too, not just that situation, but other situations. So it's coming up quite a bit, situations like this.
So what's the next step with this?
We have to take it under advisement.
The Board of Health can step in on certain areas, and they have in town, and they've put violations out there for very similar situations. And but it's a process. I mean, some of them take 6 to 8 months, even longer, for it to go through their process.
I mean, like a vehicle, you have to have plates in a registered vehicle. You can't have an unregistered vehicle in your yard. Does a spot car fall into that? Doesn't have a vehicle?
That I don't know what.
I know.
What classification that is?
I know.
Because it's never on the road.
No.
And it was noted.
But the zoning officer should have known that if it was registered or not. You know, you talked to the zoning.
Yeah.
If it was not registered, that's something in his jurisdiction.
Basically, he said no, because these cars aren't on the road.
If the ordinance says that it needs to be a registered vehicle, if the ordinance does state that.
Oh, yeah, it needs to be a registered vehicle for a roadworthy vehicle. But these are
that's what I'm saying. Then if it's not registered, then I would think that the zoning officer has some teeth there. Because if our ordinance says it has to be registered,
The ordinance,
then the zoning officer could act on that.
Yeah.
And the ordinance states it has to be a registered vehicle, or it has to be behind a fenced and outside of public view.
It has to be screened.
Because years ago there was a guy on Mount Grove.
So there is some things that can be done.
He had to put a fence up around his
property. You know, this guy put some fencing up to hide these cars?
Excuse me?
If you put some fencing up to hide these cars? You know, I mean, screening, whatever. I mean,
the ordinance does say that.
Yeah,
so the zoning officer, that's the guy to talk to. Board of Adjustment Zoning.
Yeah, all right, Doug. I'll talk. All right, guys. Thank you.
Seeing no other public comment.
Did you guys know your assemblyman became a grandfather this morning?
No.
John DeMeo.
Wyatt
Scott
Whitman, 6 pounds 5 ounces.
Ah, great.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to send congratulations to Assemblyman DeVos?
Hey, for Wyatt.
Roll call.
Yes.
All right. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time here. I'm writing things.
So now we will be going into executive session. This should be resolution 54, 2019. Three topics that I would say.
Yep.
The first is a contract matter related to Little Brook Lane snow removal. Second is a contract / personnel matter related to the police chief, where there could be potential action. And the third would be an update on the shared service discussion that we've been having for some time. Is there a motion, unless there's any other additions or clarifications?
No, that's fine. That's where I have.
Is there a motion for resolution 54, 2019 for executive session?
I'll make the motion for resolution 54, 2019 to go into executive session on the topics you discussed.